priorities in our lives, and we use this little illustration right here where we had ping pong balls and black rocks, and actually last week I had sand in there, but it was so darn messy that I just left it out this week. And I'm not going to dump all this stuff out because I showed it to you last week, and we learned that if you don't put the big balls in there first, you can't get it all in. If you put the small balls in first, the big balls won't go in. And so the illustration is to show us that there are priorities in life. There are things that need to go into life first. And if they don't go into life first, then all of life that God wants us to have will not fit. And so this works in both the illustration for daily life. In other words, there are certain things in our lives every day we need to put into our lives. Worship and prayer, time in the Word of God, time with people, fellowshipping, witnessing to others. Praising God was the one we talked about last week, called the priority of praise. But it also works in terms of life. Okay, in the big picture of life, there are some big things, big ticket items that we need to have in our lives early on, or whenever we figure out what's going on. And one of those is, well, we talked about praise last week, which is just a consistent one. But one of those happens to be our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for our sins and that we have received his forgiveness, each one of us personally. That's the biggest ball in the whole thing. In fact, it probably would take up the whole bottom of the jar if we would give it its priority. So it's the biggest one. But the second one, one of those other ones that are really important, is the priority of baptism in our lives. And I want to just talk with you through this morning. You've heard this before. But we're going to talk about Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, as well as a couple others. And so in this this discussion about the priority of baptism, I want you to think with me about the fact that it's an important thing, that it has a pattern in our in the scriptures, and there is a a practice. There we are. And you know, you get all these words in your head, at least I do, and I don't always do a very good job with it. But so it's an important part of our lives because Jesus said it was going to be an important part of our lives. And so let's read this together as I go. You know, I'll read it for you and you listen as we read through this. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because of what I just said to you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we hear this a lot, and sometimes the problem with hearing it a lot is it's kind of like when you use a shovel a lot, you get a callus right where you're using the shovel, and you kind of ignore the shovel at that point. And so sometimes the Word of God can do that to us if we allow it to. It can callous us. It can say, well, I've heard this before, and you're clicking off your antennas right now, and you're saying, I wonder when I can get out to the fair. I'm sorry, but that's just kind of the way it is. It's the reality of life. We tend to get callous to that. But Jesus here is giving a command to us. Now, the whole section is a command, and it has several different parts, but this is the basis of the command right here. And sometimes we forget this part. We just go right to go and make disciples. That's where we go. But this one right here is the basis of it. He says, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. All authority. So authority in our lives, these are the people who we look up to, we respect, we honor, we obey. Okay, the IRS has got a lot of authority. Okay. And as a result, we all file our taxes. And if you don't, you know, sometime down the road, that authority is going to come and he's going to demand those taxes from you. And if you don't pay them, I mean, he's going to garnish your wages. He's going to take it away from you. They have authority. Our president has authority, as well as the Congress and the court system. They all have authority, and when they speak, when you go to court and you don't obey the authority, what happens? They'll drag you back into the court and they'll throw you in prison. So they have authority. Authority means they call the shots and we obey what's happening. Here he says, Jesus is saying, I, Jesus Christ, the one who just rose from the dead, this is about 40 days after his resurrection, I have been given all authority. So if the IRS has got authority, and the president of our United States has got authority, and Jesus says, I have all authority, he is over top all of those. And when he calls us to do something, it's not like it's an option. There is coming a day, because he has all authority, that he will call into judgment those underneath him, which includes all of us. Now for us, those who believe, these disciples that believe, their judgment was never going to be related to their sin. Their sin was covered because they had already believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he died for their sins and he paid for all those things. They'll never be called into account for their sin, but they will be called into account for their obedience to the commands. And we too will be called into account for those things. What he says to do, if we don't do them, he's going to say, why not? And so we look at this, and so it's a command, number one, and then this is the command. So all authority, and then there's this word therefore. And whenever you see that word, you ought to say, why is this word here for? Therefore, why here for? It's because it's referring back to the authority. Because I have been given all authority, therefore, because of that, I want you to go and make disciples. Now, I put this up here. I hope you can see that. There's green, and then there's yellow, okay? So the green has to do with sentence structure. And so you don't really want to know this, but this is how we get it. Go and make disciples is actually the principal part of this sentence, okay? It's the verb. And I put the you in there because it's an understood command. In other words, he's talking to the disciples, and he doesn't have to say, you disciples, because he's right with them, okay? He's looking like me, face to face, and he's saying to you, go. Well, who is that? Well, it's you. It's the person that's being addressed. You go and make disciples. Now, the word go there is actually a word that means as you are going about your life, make disciples. So the question in my mind is, what does it mean to make disciples? I know what it means to go, okay? Sometimes I don't think we understand what it means to make disciples. Well, to make a disciple, disciples are someone who follows somebody and follows their teaching and listens to them and actually will do what they say to do. So these disciples were Jesus' disciples. And when he told them to do something, that's what they did. And so they were followers of Jesus. So the disciple is a person who's following and does what they say, but in order to do that, you have to believe in the person that you're following. So in this country, we are split politically, aren't we not? Okay? We'd all agree with that. There are those who like our president, President Trump, okay? And there are those who don't like him at all, okay? They're not following him, okay? Begrudgingly, if anything, okay? And then there are those that are following him. So there are those who believe in President Trump and those people who don't believe in President Trump. Okay? So if you're going to be a disciple of someone, you have to believe in who they are and what they stand for. So these, to make a disciple, we first of all have to help people come to understand who the president, excuse me. No, not who the president is. Who Jesus is. He is the Son of God who died for our sins. He paid the penalty so we didn't have to pay it. And he offers us a free gift of eternal life if we simply will believe and confess that he is those things to us. It becomes personal to us. So to make a disciple, you first have to, we use the word evangelize them. In other words, teach them who Jesus is so they can believe. And then they choose to follow, to obey their teacher. That's why it goes on and says, make disciples of, would you say this word with me? All. Say it again. All. All what? nations. He didn't say all Americans. He didn't say all white people. He says all nations of the world. Revelation is interesting because when you get into Revelation, you see that all nations are represented before the throne. All different skin colors, all different language groups, all nations. I find it interesting that Americans, we like to send people overseas, but we don't want to deal with anybody here. It's kind of like, that's not what he said. He said all nations. We are to reach all nations. And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we baptize them in the name. Now, baptism is really just an identification with someone. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it as we go through the practice and the pattern, okay? But here I can just say to you, baptism is an identification process. We all, some of us wear t-shirts, okay? I don't have a t-shirt on today, but a lot of times we wear a t-shirt, and sometimes it has something on it that we believe in. Sometimes it doesn't, okay? Like this t-shirt right here. This has North Iowa 5 Father's Day Shootout. I suppose it's a basketball person. But when they got this, they were proud of this, weren't they? Okay? This was probably given to them at some kind of a tournament, okay? And they wore it, and they had a great time with it, all right? Don't know whose it is. Not commenting about it. It's an identification, okay? I also have down here a hat. This is a hat Rosemary bought for me from Clydehurst Christian Ranch, where my son and daughter-in-law are working this summer and for quite a while. So when I wear this, and this is, I wear it, I wear caps because I like what they say, okay? You're not going to see me wear a cap that probably doesn't have a logo, that has a logo on, that I don't believe in, okay? So when I put this on my head and I wear it around, I'm advertising and I'm saying, I believe in this organization, all right? The other one I always tell you about is my ring, okay? My ring is my symbol of marriage. Now, I want you to see this. If I take the ring off, which seldom comes off my finger, okay? Am I still married or am I not married? I'm still married. The marriage was a covenant that I made 43 years ago. And I put this ring on that day, okay? The ring was put on to remind me and everybody else that I'm married to one man, one woman, and one, I don't know what's going on today. I just think it's been a really long week, that's what I think. I'm married to Rosemary for my life. It's kind of like baptism. It's an outward symbol of something that is internal. That's what it is. We believe, and then we're baptized. Notice the order. It is not baptize and then believe. It's believe and then baptize. We're going to see that. It's going to repeat itself over and over through the book of Acts. And then it says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Teach them. Instruct them. Show them. And this is not get them in a classroom and pour it into their heads. All right? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about as you go, baptize them and then bring them alongside you and walk with them through life and make things work for them. Help them as they go through things, as they struggle through things. Work together with them in the process of life. This is why we have life groups. That's why we have small groups so that people can do life together, okay? But we teach them. So here's the pattern, okay? And this is actually comes out of the book of Acts. We're going to start here in the book of Acts, and we're going to just kind of walk through this real quickly. Peter here is preaching to several different nations. And they're all, this is in Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit had come upon him, and they were empowered by the Spirit of God, and Peter, without having prepared a sermon, preaches a sermon. And this is a sermon. okay? Because 3,000 people are saved from this one sermon. That is almost the town of Hampton, okay? 3,000 people. And so as he's preaching this sermon to them, it says in Acts 2:37 that the Holy Spirit came upon these people, and they looked at Peter and they say, "Brother, what must we do? What must we do?" And this is what he says: "Each of you must repent of your sin, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Then you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit," which is the evidence in Acts 1 that God was upon them. So he says, repent of your sin and turn to God. So you've heard me say that repentance means to change your mind, to change the direction of your travel. So if these people are going this direction away from God, he's saying, I want you to repent of what you're doing. That means I want you to be sorry for what you're doing. I want you to stop what you're doing. I want you to turn around and go the other direction, which is toward God. So you turn this way, and you turn and walk toward God rather than away from him. Repent of your sin. What I've done is wrong. That's what repentance means. What I've done is wrong, and I need to change it. And turn to God. So I turn to God, and then he says, I want you to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. Now, it sounds like baptism forgives a sin, doesn't it? That's what it sounds like. However, it really has to do with the fact that repentance and turning to God is a belief. Okay? That's what that is. It's belief. So if you go down a little farther in this Acts 2:41, this is what it says. Those who believed what Peter had said were what? Baptized. Why? Because no one can see what's inside a person until they demonstrate it on the outside. I can say that I believe, but until my actions show differently, or until I have made an identification statement, like the hat or the ring or the t-shirt, they were baptized and they were added to the church that day, 3,000 people. Holy Toledo. The move of the Spirit was great on that day. So that is what was going on. So there is a practice in the New Testament church. And I'm going to take you back to a guy we talked about last week. His name is Philip. Okay. So in the early church, there was a persecution that broke out in Jerusalem upon the church. And Philip was one of the people who said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go someplace else, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So he started preaching from Jerusalem up until Samaria, and he got to Samaria, and there's all kinds of people who were listening to him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And it says in Acts 8:12, but now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. They believed, and then they were baptized. I'm not making this up. Okay. If you go a little farther on, we find that Peter runs into a man who was a eunuch of the Ethiopian government. And he's traveling from Jerusalem or someplace up in Israel. And he's going back to Ethiopia. And he's in this chariot. And Philip was told to go down there. He walks up to him and he says, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, what was the prophet Isaiah talking about, himself or someone else? And so beginning with the same scripture, the Isaiah scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Can I be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. The pattern of the New Testament, especially in Acts, is very clear that it is the belief that occurs and then the baptism that occurs to identify what's happened internally on this individual. If you look at the rest of Acts, in Acts 10, Gentiles believe in Jesus Christ, and it says they are baptized. They believe and they're baptized. In Acts 16, the first European believers came to believe, and they were baptized after their belief. In Acts 18, the Corinthian believers believe and are baptized. And in Acts 19, the Ephesian believers, those who believed in Ephesus, they believed and then they were baptized. And I know I'm like a broken record right here, okay? But the reason we do what we do is not because we are Baptists. Sometimes I wish I could cut that name out of our name, that word out of our name, because it is so confusing to people. They say, well, you're Baptist, so you baptize. No! We baptize because the Bible tells us to be baptized after we believe. That's why we do it. It has nothing to do with tradition, has nothing to do with denomination. It has to do with what the Bible says. And if anybody ever asks you about Baptists and that kind of stuff, just say, we don't do it because of that. We do it because the Bible tells us to do it this way. So we believe and we're baptized. It is the priority of baptism. It's important. It is not an option. It is not an option. I really believe that when we walk into eternity, because we have believed in Jesus Christ, and we come in, we see him face to face, okay, and we have not been baptized, you're going to say, why not? What were you afraid of? Why won't you do this? Why in your belief did you not get baptized? He has all authority, remember? He will ultimately judge us. And it's not me speaking. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, you can say to me, well, I don't read it that way. And we can have a discussion about that another time. I'd be glad to sit down and talk with you about this. And you can share your beliefs with me and I'll understand. We'll walk through it. Okay? But I think it's pretty hard to go against what the book of Acts says. It's pretty clear. And so this morning we are going to have a baptism. This baptism was going to have three this morning, okay? And I believe in the family. I believe wholeheartedly in the family. And so part of their family couldn't be here on this date. We thought they could, and then it you know how life works, you know? And so two of them couldn't do it, but they're going to do it later on. And so we have one person that's going to be baptized. And LaVon Crandall, you can come on up here, up the backside, LaVon, and we're going to baptize her based upon her confession. And you're going to hear her confession today. I've talked with her about it. I know what she believes, okay? But she wants to say to everybody else, this is what's gone inside my heart. This is what's inside of me. And so as we do this, Brad, why don't you come on up and get the worship team on the stage. As they do, I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you that you've given us a pattern and a practice and a command. And Lord, I just pray that we would be obedient to it, Lord. That we would look at the scriptures and ask the questions that are there. Is this what I need to do? So, Father, I just ask that you would care for LaVon today, that you would protect her. And as a result, her desire to stand and to confess her faith publicly, as well as being baptized and identified with you, Father, that you would encourage her, and you would encourage others to follow Jesus in baptism. In the name of Jesus, we pray.